North Korea says missiles were drilled for strike on U.S. bases. We've got some massive news to cover today. And of course, we're going to talk about WikiLeaks here in just a minute. WikiLeaks just dropped a bombshell on the CIA. Our phones, our TVs, our computers, everything could potentially be infiltrated by the CIA. Now, but first, we've got North Korea and the U.S. set to square off, according to The Independent. This report, I believe, was obtained from the Wall Street Journal. The U.S. is considering a direct strike against North Korea. Depends on when, but obviously that's big news. North Korea says missiles were drilled for strike on U.S. bases. Again, are you kidding me, North Korea? You don't want to tango with the U.S. Nuclear-armed North Korea said Tuesday its missile launches were training for a strike on U.S. bases in Japan as global condemnation of the regime swelled. Now, there's a strange coincidence going on here. I want you guys to think back just a little while ago. We did a report about China and a preemptive strike on the U.S. Pearl Harbor 2, China has prepared for a preemptive strike against U.S. military bases, which could cripple, would cripple American forces in the region. Is there an unseen alliance between China and Russia? I want to know what you guys think. I'm serious, because I think there is. I think there's an unseen alliance between these two, because otherwise, why isn't China doing more to stop, of course, the aggressive nature of North Korea with sanctions or whatever have you. But in this aspect, we've got North Korea preparing for missile strikes against the U.S. Three of the four missiles fired Monday came down provocatively close to U.S. ally Japan in waters that are part of its exclusive economic zone, representing a challenge to U.S. President Donald Trump. We also have China, who's made these mock bases to prepare for strikes against the U.S., preemptive strikes. The images show that the test areas have been designed to look like military bases. U.S. bases by North Korea. North Korea warns of an actual war. U.S. calls it pariah. Reuters. North Korea said on Tuesday it would pursue its nuclear deterrent and weapons program as huge U.S.-South Korean joint military exercises. It says model a preemptive nuclear strike against Pyongyang continued. South Korea and the U.S., which led condemnation of North Korea's latest missile tests at the Conference of Disarmament, said their military drills were to test defensive readiness against possible aggression from the North. North Korean diplomat Ju Yong Choi told the United Nations-backed forum that the allies' annual exercises were a major cause of escalation of tension that might turn into actual war. What in the world is coming down the turnpike here? We've got China warning of peril or turmoil. And of course, we've got China also stating that they are preparing for the New World Order, where the U.S. is no longer in power, I guess. And then you've also got other countries saying similar things. And you've got North Korea and China both working and planning and practicing preemptive strikes against the U.S. You also have China aligning itself directly with the UN, directly with the EU, trying to squeeze out the U.S. This multipolar world that we're seeing, it just keeps escalating and escalating. And of course, one day we're going to hit the brink. They've brought us to this point because it is a stage. Don't ever forget that. It is always just a stage. We're witnessing the pieces come together for World War III that would actually complete Albert Pike's agenda. As we've seen many times, it is all lining itself up for that. We're going to see the distress among nations, within nations first. And then, of course, World War III. We're already at the distress in nations. I mean, my goodness, the U.S. has not been this divided before. Other countries are facing similar turmoil or similar unrest. Japan moves to highest alert level after North Korea fires missiles. Japan moved to the highest possible alert level after North Korea fired four ballistic missiles simultaneously into nearby waters, the latest provocation from Kim Jong-un's regime. Now, again, we have something similar every year with North Korea. I don't think it's ever been this close where you've got the U.S. is considering a direct strike before, but we've seen similar actions from North Korea, just not this close, not within 200 nautical miles of course, Japan. China warns of consequences over the deployment of U.S. anti-missile system. You've got China basically defending North Korea as we go to place our THAAD missile system, missile defense system that China opposes arrives in South Korea. You've got China opposing this. Why? Now, of course, the U.S. could use the THAAD missile system to spy on China and Russia. That obviously would play a key role into why they'd be opposing it. But at the same time, if China has such a problem with North Korea, something could take place. This missile system could potentially prevent or de-escalate a situation really quickly if one escalated. But China's opposed to it. But we don't see much coming from China against North Korea. China warned Tuesday of consequences for South Korea and the United States over the deployment of a U.S. anti-missile system, raising regional tension and posing a challenge to the Trump administration. South Korean officials said they expected retaliatory moves against companies doing business in China. The foreign ministry here did not specify any actions against the U.S., but Beijing's displeasure marked an abrupt change in tone after a generally cautious approach until now toward the new president. We also had China basically doing covert warfare against South Korea. We saw some businesses getting shut down. We reported on this just, I think it was last week. But again, the THAAD missile system has arrived in China. In North Korea, excuse me. The U.S. is considering a direct strike against North Korea. Here's how it would go down. Just after North Korea carried out a missile test and a high-profile assassination of Kim Jong-un's half-brother in Malaysia, the Wall Street Journal reported that the U.S. was considering direct military action against the Kim regime. U.S. President Donald Trump has apparently honed in on North Korea as his most serious external challenge and has reportedly declared them the single greatest threat to the United States. In January, Trump tweeted that North Korean missiles hitting the U.S., as they've often threatened, won't happen. But in reality, taking out North Korea's nuclear capabilities or decapitating the Kim regime would pose serious risks to even the U.S. military's best platforms. Business Insider spoke with Stratfor's Sim Tak, a senior analyst and an expert on North Korea, to determine exactly how the U.S. could potentially carry out a crippling strike against the Hermit Kingdom. Military action against North Korea wouldn't be pretty. Some number of civilians in South Korea, possibly Japan and the U.S. forces stationed in the Pacific, would be likely to die in the undertaking, no matter how smooth or how smoothly things went. In short, it's not a decision any U.S. commander-in-chief would make lightly, but the U.S. would have to choose between a full-scale destruction of North Korea's nuclear facilities and ground forces or a quicker attack and only the most important nuclear facilities. The second option would focus more on crippling North Korea's nuclear program and destroying key threats to the U.S. and its allies. Now, of course, so we see that the U.S. is considering strikes. We see that the tension between China and the U.S. is still escalating. We see that North Korea is trying to play this provocative role again and again and again. And of course, one time, we're gonna respond. We respond sanction-wise, economically, blah, 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 but never an actual strike against North Korea. Are we actually going to see one this spring? Keep in mind, the tension's only building. And again, it's a stage. But the question is, if the U.S. were to strike North Korea, will China defend North Korea? Because as we see, they're both practicing and planning for preemptive strikes against U.S. military bases. WikiLeaks. The CIA steals other groups' viruses and malware, facilitating false flag attacks. What? We know for a fact that the CIA is behind a lot of false flags that take place within the U.S. A lot of mainstream media still wants to call this a hoax, but here's the documentation that proves it. The CIA's handcrafted hacking techniques pose a problem for the agency. Each technique it has created forms a fingerprint that can be used by forensic investigators to attribute multiple different attacks to the same entity. This analogous to finding the same distinctive knife wound on multiple separate murder victims. The unique wounding style creates suspicion that a single murderer is responsible. As soon one is murder, hang on. As soon one murder and the set is solved, then the other murders also find likely attribution. The CIA's Remote Devices Branch, or Umbrage Group, collects them and maintains a substantial library of attack techniques stolen from malware produced in other states, including the Russian Federation. With Umbrage and related projects, the CIA can not only increase its total number of attack types, but also misdirect attribution. By leaving behind the fingerprints of the groups that the attack techniques were stolen from. Oh. So is that what's going on? Let's find out. Let's dig into what WikiLeaks has basically released. It's titled Vault 7. Ladies and gentlemen, this is possibly the biggest information drop since Edward Snowden. And it is physically bigger than the Edward Snowden drop. But what I mean by the biggest information drop is the CIA created its own NSA. Now, while this information has been tossed around, of course, there hasn't been all that much evidence to finally prove just how big the hacking schemes of the CIA actually is. We could finally prove it. WikiLeaks press release. Today, Tuesday, the 7th of March, 2017. WikiLeaks begins its new series of leaks on the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, codenamed Vault 7. By WikiLeaks, it is the largest ever publication of confidential documents on the agency. The first full part of the series, Year Zero, comprises 8,761 documents and files from an isolated high-security network situated inside the CIA's Center for Cyber Intelligence in Langley, Virginia. It follows an introductory disclosure last month of CIA targeting French political parties and candidates in the lead-up to the 2012 presidential elections. Recently, the CIA lost control of the majority of its hacking arsenal, including malware, viruses, trojans, weaponized zero-day exploits, malware remote control systems, and associated documentation. The CIA has a massive, folks, this is a massive hacking arsenal, and they have lost control of it. The fallout, it could be detrimental. Just hang on. This extraordinary collection, which amounts to more than several hundred million lines of code, gives its possessor the entire hacking capacity of the CIA. The archive appears to have been circulated among former U.S. government hackers and contractors in an unauthorized manner, one of whom has provided WikiLeaks with portions of the archive. Year Zero introduces the scope and direction of the CIA's global covert hacking program, its malware arsenal, and dozens of zero-day weaponized exploits against a wide range of U.S. and European company products include Apple's iPhone, Google's Android, and Microsoft's Windows, and even Samsung TVs, which are turned into covert microphones. Since 2001, the CIA has gained political budgetary preeminence over the U.S. National Security Agency, or the NSA. The CIA found itself building not just its now infamous drone fleet, but a very different type of covert globe-spanning force, its own substantial fleet of hackers. The agency's hacking division freed it from having to disclose its often controversial operations to the NSA, its primary bureaucratic rival, in order to draw on the NSA's hacking capacities. By the end of 2016, the CIA's hacking division, which formally falls under the agency's Center for Cyber Intelligence, or CCI, had over 5,000 registered users and had produced more than 1,000 hacking systems, trojans, viruses, and other weaponized malware. Such is the scale of the CIA's undertaking that by 2016, its hackers had utilized more code than that used to run Facebook. Facebook covers how many people? How many people have a Facebook account? Let's put it that way. Think about the scope of this. Facebook has over, I think it's 2 billion accounts. And the CIA's, let me read it again. The CIA's 5,000 registered users had produced more than 1,000 hacking systems, and they have used more code than that used to run Facebook. So Facebook has roughly 2 billion accounts, right? That's a lot of code. to run that program, to run this, the application, blah, blah, blah. But the CIA has an even bigger system than Facebook. There is just not really a big way to grasp just how big this is. A lot of people have guessed at how big it is, but this is huge. This is gigantic. The CIA had created, in effect, its own NSA. With even less accountability and without publicly answering the question as to whether such a massive budgetary spend on duplicating the capabilities of a rival agency could be justified. In a statement to WikiLeaks, the source details policy questions that they say urgently need to be debated in public, including whether the CIA's hacking capabilities exceed its mandated powers and the problem of public oversight of the agency. The source wishes to initiate a public debate about the security, creation, use, proliferation, and democratic control of cyber weapons. Once a single cyber weapon is loose, it can spread around the world in seconds, faster than a physical weapon, obviously. But it can also be used by rival states, the cyber mafia, and teenage hackers as well. Think about how big that is and how bad that is. Once one of these cyber weapons is loose, rival states can use it, the cyber mafia can use it, teenage hackers, blah, 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 you get it. Julian Assange, WikiLeaks editor, stated that there is an extreme proliferation risk in the development of cyber weapons. Comparisons can be drawn between the uncontrolled proliferation of such weapons, which results from the inability to contain them combined with their high market value and the global arms trade. But the significance of Year Zero goes well beyond the choice between cyber war and cyber peace. The disclosure is also exceptional from a political, legal, and forensic perspective. WikiLeaks has carefully reviewed the Year Zero disclosure and published substantive CIA documentation while avoiding the distribution of armed cyber weapons until a consensus emerges on the technical and political nature of the CIA's program and how such weapons should be analyzed, disarmed, and published. WikiLeaks has also decided to redact and anonymize some identifying information in Year Zero for an in-depth analysis. Here's a lot of the analysis. The CIA malware targets iPhone, Android, and smart TVs. CIA malware and hacking tools are built by EDG, Engineering Development Group, a software development group within CCI, Center for Cyber Intelligence, a department belonging to the CIA's DDI, Directorate for Digital Innovation. The DDI is one of five major directorates of the CIA. There's an organizational chart. Let's have a look at that one real quick here. We'll go back to this. Here is the chart right here. So we've got the CIA. I can't really read it. There we go. Directorate of Intelligence, Directorate of Digital Innovation, Directorate of Operations, Directorate of Science and Technology, Directorate of Support. And, of course, Office of Technical Readiness, OED. Now, of course, they're focused on the CCI Cyber for Center for Cyber Intelligence, OSE, Open Source Enterprise. You go down here, EDG, Physical Access Group, AED, Applied Engineering Division, Operational Support Branch, Embedded Devices Branch, Automated Implants Branch, Remote Development Branch, and Mobile Development Branch. Now, of course, the SED, which has question marks underneath it, Network Devices Branch. I mean, this is massive. A lot of people have guessed how big this is, but I mean, this is huge. The EDG is responsible for the development, testing, and operational support of all backdoors, exploits, malicious payloads, trojans, viruses, and any other kind of malware used by the CIA and its covert operations worldwide. The increasing sophistication of surveillance techniques has drawn comparisons with George Orwell's 1984, but Weeping Angel, developed by the CIA's Embedded Devices Branch, which infests smart TVs, transforming them into covert microphones, is surely its most emblematic realization. We just have to ask the question, why do they need all of this data? Most of the time, people aren't talking about committing crimes against the government, but yet the TVs, the phones, the computers, they're all watching and listening at the same damn time. Why do they need all of this data? My opinion is, what are they teaching? What system are they teaching to understand all of our data at once? They have the systems big enough. But the question is, how big's the artificial intelligence behind it all? What else have we not really uncovered? What else has yet to come out? The attack against Samsung smart TVs was developed in cooperation with the United Kingdom's MI5 BTSS after infestation. Weeping Angel places the target TV in a fake off mode so that the owner falsely believes the TV is off when it is on. In fake off mode, the TV operates as a bug, recording conversations in the room and sending them over the internet to a covert CIA server. As of October 2014, the CIA was also looking at infecting the vehicle control systems used by modern cars and trucks. The purpose of such control is not specified, but it would permit the CIA to engage in nearly undetectable assassinations. How many people could they assassinate with the vehicle control systems? You know, it increasingly is becoming more evident. Don't go get the newest car, folks. Go buy an old one that works. The CIA's Mobile Devices Branch, MDB, developed numerous attacks to remotely hack and control popular smartphones. Infected phones can be instructed to send the CIA the user's geolocation, audio, and text communications, as well as covertly activate the phone's camera and microphone. Before we go on to this, but I got one more thing to say about these vehicle control systems. You know, in 2 years, we're talking about totally automated cars. The computer drives for you, self-driving cars and blah, blah, blah. And we have a CIA that can infect the vehicle control system. But here's the problem. What if somebody else got their hands on that malware? The casualties, I imagine, would be enormous. We've known how hacked these phones are. Despite iPhone's minority share of 14.5% of the global smartphone market in 2016, a specialized unit in the CIA's mobile development branch produces malware to infest, control, and exfiltrate data from iPhones and other Apple products running iOS, such as iPads. CIA's arsenal includes numerous local and remote zero days, developed by the CIA or obtained from GCHQ, NSA, FBI, or purchased from cyber arms contractors such as Baitshop. The disproportionate focus on iOS may be explained by the popularity of the iPhone among social, political, diplomatic, and business elites. A similar unit targets Google's Android, which is used to run the majority of the world's smartphones, which is roughly 85%, including Samsung, HTC, and Sony. 1.15 billion Android-powered phones were sold last year. Year zero shows that as of 2016, the CIA had 24 weaponized Android zero days, which it has developed itself and obtained from GCHQ, NSA, and cyber arms contractors. These techniques permit the CIA to bypass the encryption of WhatsApp, Signal, Telegram, Weibo, Confide, and Cloakman by hacking the smartphones that they run on and collecting audio and message traffic before encryption is applied. CIA malware targets Windows, OS X, Linux, and routers. The CIA also runs a very substantial effort to infect and control Microsoft Windows users with its malware. This includes multiple local and remote weaponized zero days. Now, of course, we know about Microsoft's own malware, which is the Windows 10. If you don't have Windows 10, how many times is it going to bug you to make you upgrade? Now, I was trying to make light of a bad situation, but this includes multiple local and remote weaponized zero days, air gap jumping viruses such as Hammer Drill, which infects software distribution on CDs and DVDs, infectors for removable media such as USBs, systems to hide data in images, or in covert disk areas, Brutal Kangaroo, and to keep its malware infestations going. Many of these infection efforts are pulled together by the CIA's Automated Implant Branch, which has developed several attack systems for automated infestation and control of CIA malware, such as Assassin and Medusa. Attacks against internet infrastructure and web servers are developed by the CIA's Network Devices Branch, NDB. You know what? Instead of looking at the teenage hackers that are around the globe, when certain large companies such as Twitter go down, we got to start looking at the CIA. The CIA has developed automated multi-platform malware attack and control systems covering Windows, Mac OS X, Solaris, Linux, and more, such as EDB's Hive and the related Cutthroat and Swindle tools, which are described in the example section below. CIA hoarded vulnerabilities. In the wake of Edward Snowden's leaks about the NSA, the U.S. technology industry secured a commitment from the Obama administration that the executive would disclose on an ongoing basis, rather than hoard, serious vulnerabilities, exploits, bugs, or zero days to Apple, Google, Microsoft, and other U.S.-based manufacturers. Serious vulnerabilities, not disclosed to the manufacturers, places huge swaths of the population and critical infrastructure at risk to foreign intelligence or cyber criminals who independently discover or hear rumors of the vulnerability. If the CIA can discover such vulnerabilities, so can others. The U.S. government's commitment to the vulnerabilities equities process came after significant lobbying by U.S. technology companies who risk losing their share of the global market over real, perceived, hidden vulnerabilities. The government stated that it would disclose all pervasive vulnerabilities discovered after 2010 on an ongoing basis. Year Zero documents show that the CIA breached the Obama administration's commitments. Many of the vulnerabilities used in the CIA's cyber arsenal are pervasive, and some may already have been found by rival intelligence agencies or cyber criminals. As an example, specific CIA malware revealed in Year Zero is able to penetrate, infest, and control both the Android and iPhone software that runs or has run presidential Twitter accounts. The CIA attacks this software by using undisclosed security vulnerabilities or zero days possessed by the CIA, but if the CIA can hack these phones, then so can everyone else who has obtained or discovered the vulnerability. As long as the CIA keeps these vulnerabilities concealed from Apple and Google, who make the phones, they will not be fixed and the phones will remain hackable. The same vulnerabilities exist for the population at large, including the U.S. Cabinet, Congress, top CEOs, system administrators, security officers, and engineers. By hiding these security flaws from manufacturers like Apple and Google, the CIA ensures that it can hack everyone and at the expense of leaving everyone hackable. Now, of course, we know Apple and Google are in bed with the CIA. Cyber war programs are a serious proliferation risk. Cyber weapons are not possible to keep under effective control, while nuclear proliferation has been restrained by the enormous costs and visible infrastructure involved in assembling enough fissile material to produce a critical nuclear mass. Cyber weapons, once developed, are very hard to retain. Cyber weapons are in fact just computer programs which can be pirated like any other. Since they are entirely comprised of information, they can be copied quickly with no marginal cost. Securing such weapons is particularly difficult since the same people who develop and use them have the skills to exfiltrate copies without leaving traces, sometimes by using the very same weapons against the organizations that contain them. U.S. Consulate in Frankfurt is a covert CIA hacker base. In addition to its operations in Langley, Virginia, the CIA also uses the U.S. consulate in Frankfurt, as a covert base for its hackers covering Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. CIA hackers operating out of Frankfurt Consulate Center for Cyber Intelligence Europe, or CCIE, are given diplomatic black passports and State Department cover. The instructions for incoming CIA hackers make Germany's counterintelligence efforts appear inconsequential. Breeze through German customs because you have cover for your action story down pat, and all they did was stamp your passport. Two earlier WikiLeaks publications give further detail on CIA approaches to customs and secondary screening procedures. Once in Frankfurt, CIA hackers can travel without further border checks to the 25 European countries that are part of the Schengen open border area, including France, Italy, and Switzerland. A number of the CIA's electronic attack methods are designed for physical proximity. These attack methods are able to penetrate high security networks that are disconnected from the internet, such as police record databases. In these cases, a CIA officer, agent, or allied intelligence officer acting under instructions physically infiltrates the targeted workplace. The attacker is provided with a USB containing malware developed for the CIA for this purpose, which is inserted into the targeted computer. The attacker then infects and exfiltrates data to removable media. For example, the CIA attack system Fine Dining provides 24 decoy applications for CIA spies to use to witness the spy appears to be running a program showing videos, VLC, presenting slides, Prezi, playing a computer game, Breakout 2, 2048, or even running a fake virus scanner, Kaspersky, McAfee, Sophos. But while the decoy application is on the screen, the underlying system is automatically infected and ransacked. Just keeps going. This is absolutely massive. The CIA has created its own NSA. So WikiLeaks has generated this massive bombshell, which is probably going to be bigger than Edward Snowden's NSA leaks. But now we can start to connect some dots. We have this tweet from WikiLeaks, which says the CIA steals other groups' virus and malware, facilitating false flag attacks. Of course, that means that the CIA is blaming other governments for something they're doing. Okay? So now we have John Podesta's brother, Tom Podesta, who was paid by a Russian bank, the largest Russian bank, to remove sanctions, to end one of Obama's sanctions against Russia. So we have the Podestas. Let me read. It's basically they're trying to accuse someone of doing something when they're doing it themselves. Whether we know Trump is doing it or not still remains to be fully seen. But of course, with the Podestas, Tony Podesta was involved with spirit cooking. We know how deep this hole goes, and it's disgusting. The people who were involved in this. Democrat super lobbyist Tony Podesta was paid $170,000 over a six-month period last year to represent Sberbank, I believe that's how you pronounce that, Russia's largest bank, seeking to end one of the Obama administration's economic sanctions against that country. The Daily Caller News Foundation's investigative group has learned. Podesta, founder and chairman of the Podesta Group, is listed as a key lobbyist on behalf of Sberbank, according to Senate lobbying disclosure forms. His firm received more than $24 million in fees in 2016, much of it coming from foreign governments. So while they're trying to pin Trump, or blame Trump for being involved with foreign governments, whether he is or not still remains to be seen, they're involved with other governments. They have special interests with other governments. They're being paid by other foreign governments. His firm received more than $24 million in fees in 2016, much of it coming from foreign governments, according to the Nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics. Podesta is the brother of John Podesta, so Tony Podesta was involved with spirit cooking. He was the one that the entire email, I believe, was generated from, or he forwarded it to John Podesta. I believe that's how it played out. But this is huge. They have been exposed as being the satanic scum that they are. There's other words I'd like to say and throw in there, but I'm not going to. Who is the national campaign chairman for former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's losing 2016 campaign for presidency. That's how deep this thing goes. Former President Barack Obama imposed the sanctions following the Russian seizure of the Crimean region of Ukraine in 2014. The lobbying campaign targeted Congress and the executive branch, with Podesta and other lobbyists arranging at least two meetings between Sberbank officers and the Department of State officials, according to Elena, Sberbank's board chairman, who spoke to House aides in August. The discovery of high-profile Democrats, like Podesta, being paid lucrative fees for lobbying to lift U.S. sanctions on Russia contracts, with charges from Democrats that President Donald Trump said, and his key aides, are soft on Russia, while the Obama administration was tough on Moscow. Podesta's efforts were a key part of under-the-radar lobbying during the 2016 presidential election, or presidential campaign, led mainly by veteran Democratic strategists to remove sanctions against Sberbank and VTB Capital, Russia's second largest bank. The Podesta Group charged Sberbank $20,000 per month, plus expenses on a contract from March through September 2016. Entire cities and underground civilizations have been created without the knowledge of the public. How much do we all know about these underground cities, and why in the world is Elon Musk trying to build tunnels? Secrecy has become a way of life, particularly for the stealthy operations of nuclear powers and a continuity of government systems. In preparing for all eventualities of defense and attempting to stay one step ahead of every U.S. adversary, the U.S. government and governments around the world have become so secret that the entire cities and underground civilizations have been created without the knowledge of the public. And some people still claim far-reaching conspiracies are impossible because they'd never be able to get so many people to keep their mouths shut. Really? How many people work at the CIA? If these are the ones we now know all about, take a guess at what we don't know about. There are six secret cities that prove we don't know what's really going on. Of course, that was originally produced by the Daily Sheeple. You might want to come stop by and check out this video. It's very interesting. Teen charged with decapitating his mother. My God. An 18-year-old in North Carolina has been charged with first-degree murder after authorities said he decapitated his mother Monday afternoon. Sheriff Kent Winstead says the first officer on scene found the teenager with a knife in one hand and his mother's head in the other. When they arrived, he was with the decapitation in his hand, and it was a gruesome scene. The oldest son killed his mother. It looked to be a large butcher knife, the weapon was that was used. I can't tell you how many wounds, Winston said. Investigators say the suspect, Oliver Fuenz, placed his mother's head on the ground and was taken into custody. The body was found inside the home. This is disgusting. Two young girls were also at home at the time, but they did not appear to be injured. Resident Randy Mullins says he drove by the scene shortly after the deputy arrived. He can't forget the look on that officer's face. The horrors that we've seen from ISIS and other organizations, and of course, it's shocking. The gruesome, barbaric nature of some of these individuals. I'll tell you what. There's an agenda with it. You see, with atheism, and nihilism, of course, this, I'm referring back to Albert Pike's letter. Their agenda is to basically bring about the barbaric nature in individuals and people. It was in the letter. He stated this. And when that happens, it's going to be atrocious, is an understatement. And their whole goal is to remove Christianity. Good luck. Investigators say Fuenz was the one who called 911, and he stayed on the line with officers until they arrived. Funes is now charged with first-degree murder. I can't imagine how anyone could do that to anybody, much less your own mother. That is insane. The evil that is running amok in the U.S. of A. right now, it must be stopped. Get ready for robots made with human flesh. Oh my gosh, that just gives you chills. Humanoid robots would wear tissue grafts before transplantation. Two University of Oxford biomedical researchers are calling for robots to be built with real human tissue. So is this what the trans movement's all about? And they say the technology is there if we only choose to develop it. Writing in Science Robotics, Pierre Alex Mathoy and Andrew Carr argue that humanoid robots could be the exact tool we need to create muscle and tendon grafts that actually work. Right now, tissue engineering relies on bioreactors to grow sheets of cells. These machines often look like large fish tanks, filled with a rich soup of nutrients and chemicals. That just sounds disgusting. Come on. The problem, explained Mathai and Carr, is that bioreactors currently fail to mimic the real mechanical environment for cells. In other words, human cells and muscles and tendons grow while being stretched and moved around on our skeletons without experiencing these natural stresses. The tissue grafts produced by researchers often have a broad range of structural problems and low cell counts. That's where robots come in. The researchers propose a humanoid bioreactor system with structures, dimensions, and mechanics similar to those of the human body. Humanoid robots. Humanoid robots. Real humanoid robots with human flesh. Alert. Science will now attempt to bring back the dead. Biotech company granted ethical permission to reanimate dead brains. You guys may remember this from last year. I wanted to alert you guys to the follow-up on this one. This is the year that they can do this. They've got about 20 participants who have been medically certified as being brain dead and are only kept from decomposing by life support machines. They're going to be the participants in this Reanima project. And of course, this Reanima project is done by BioCork. And they are trying to bring these brains back to life. I mean, that just sounds like zombies. Sounds nuts. To undertake such a complex initiative, we are combing biologic regenerative medicine tools with other existing medical devices typically used for stimulation and for the central nervous system in patients with other severe disorders of consciousness, said Ira Pastor, the CEO of BioCork Inc., as reported by The Telegraph. We hope to see the results within the first 2 to 3 months. As to when exactly they are starting this, I am not sure, but I do know that it's this year. Pope Francis publicly aligns ideology with depopulation agenda. Urges limit on amount of children if you cannot bring them up properly. That's the key phrase. Listen, if you're in the Catholic Church, get out of it. It is not the way. A personal relationship with the Savior, with Jesus Christ, is the way. Seek that relationship. The United Nations and Pope Francis have aligned their ideology with that of population control. Don't be fooled by their kind way of saying it. We need at some point to have a limited number of people, which is why Pope Francis and his three most recent predecessors have always argued that you should not have more children than you can bring up properly. Now, of course, at first run, that sounds duh, right? A panelist at a Vatican-run workshop on how to save the natural world stated on Thursday. The solution mentioned by the panel shown above to bringing about sustainable development was presented by botanist and environmentalist Peter Raven during a press conference that concluded the biological extinction. The Vatican's holding this, a workshop which took place at the Vatican recently. The panel included Greg Burke, moderator of panel and director of the Holy See Press Office, Raven, president of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, PAS, Werner Arber, University of Cambridge professor Emetrius of Economics and Partha, and past Chancellor Bishop Marcello Sanchez Saronda. There we go. We do not endorse any of the artificial birth control methods that the church does not endorse, said Raven. According to Raven, the essential part of halting overpopulation is that we need a more limited number of people in the world. But they're not going to use the artificial birth control. I don't agree with using artificial birth control at all. But in this article, they're saying no artificial birth control, but we have to halt overpopulation. Okay. In addition to the aforementioned, Raven stated the problem is one of inequality, where the rich use more of the world's resources than the poor. In the framework of social justice worldwide, we need to find ways for natural resources to be distributed on the basis of compassion and love. We hope for support and our ongoing support for our endeavor to develop sustainability, he said. Key words, friends, key words. That's what it's all about. All panel members conjectured that the survival of Earth is directly linked to the amount of individuals on this planet. The Biological Extinction Workshop drew vast controversy over a particular paper that was authored by the notorious pro-abortion population control advocate, Dr. Paul Ehrlich. This guy has advocated for the sterilization of 6 billion people, and the Vatican just supported his work. Kind words and keywords. We get it. Previously, we at the Christian Truther have reproved that what is being taught to our children in schools is the supposition that they won't be allowed to have children and shouldn't. In fact, a prominent environmentalist and professor teaches that to stop climate change, the United Nations must enforce population engineering. He states this to manipulate students from having children, all while he has his own. So he got to have a child, right? But says you don't get one. I see a problem with that. A synopsis of the Pope and the Biological Extinction Panel's discussion is that mankind's last hope of living sustainably is to be non-existent. That's what the point is. We shouldn't exist. That's what they're saying to us all. The whole point of this planet being sustainable, blah, 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 is for us to be non-existent. I don't know how these advocates for climate change don't get that. Therefore, don't have children. One of the natural methods mentioned by the panel was that of taxes and regulations. Surprisingly, that's already in the works at the United Nations. Recently, at the gathering of the World Wildlife Day on Friday, on March 3rd, John Knox, the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights and the Environment, summed up an answer to their riddle of human rights and environmental law by stating, "People cannot fully enjoy their human rights without the services that healthy ecosystems provide," Mr. Knox emphasized, "and protecting biodiversity is necessary to ensure that ecosystems remain healthy and resilient." Duh. People cannot live happily if an environment is not healthy. We don't need to regulate and tax it to death, though. Because the people who are involved with the UN and who would enforce these regulations and taxes all have special interests with large corporations and governments. Thus, the United Nations is attempting to link the two, which would allow for environmental lawbreakers to be met with the same punishments found under human rights abusers. Sometimes it's taxes, other times it's regulations. The audacity of the Catholic Church to support such ideology can be understood by the research used to showcase their message. Dr. Paul Ehrlich, the author mentioned above, supports mass murder. In other words, in an interview with The Guardian, Ehrlich advocated for cutting the world's population by 6 billion people. Similar ideology can be found on the Georgia Guidestones. To bring it down to 1 billion. A world population of around a billion would have an overall pro-life effect. You just killed 6 billion people. The Guardian indirectly quoted Sanford biologist Paul Ehrlich as saying, "This could be supported for many millennia and sustain many more human lives in the long term compared with our current uncontrolled growth and prospect of sudden collapse." So basically, what I'm getting from this, and I wonder if you guys are getting the same thing, so please let me know in the comments. Are they going to regulate and tax how many children we can all have? We saw similar things in China. Sound familiar? Yet. Are they going to tax parents for having children? Or regulate how many kids can be in a household? What happens if you have an illegal one? Is the government going to come take it away? Or is the UN going to come take it away? Take your child away. Days before the Vatican Symposium, titled Biological Extinction, was held behind closed doors in Rome from February 27th to March 1st, two of the key speakers, Dr. Paul Ehrlich and Sir Parthra Descbuta, spoke to The Guardian about the conference. Biologists say half of all species could be extinct by the end of the century. Oh my goodness. Listen, we're tired of your scaremongering. These are the people who fearmonger. They said in the 1960s that the entire world would be dead by now. I think we're all still pretty much here. And accounted for. According to the CIA and their leaks. Or in their hacks. There we go. The scaremongering ideology is derived directly from eugenics and evolution. So why in the world is the Catholic Church supporting such? Better yet, why in the world is the Pope urging families to limit the amount of children? Using such ideology rampantly showcases the blasphemy within the Catholic Church and further proves the communist injections by Pope Francis. The divide is even evident within the Catholic Church. As a matter of fact, according to Life News, earlier this week, a global coalition of Catholic pro-life and pro-family organizations urged Catholics to resist the Vatican's increasing alliance with the leftist agenda, specifically as championed by the United Nations. Warning that such an alliance poses an immediate and serious threat to children and the family. Not only that, but we also have his last advisor, I think it was, on his council for dealing with, sexual abuse. I can't remember the lady's name. She was the last advisor. I really can't remember her name. We just did a report on it a couple days ago, a couple weeks ago, something like that. But she left. She said he's done. He's not listening anymore. The Pope is no longer going to take anybody's advice. Instead of me just playing a guessing game, I figured I'd pull it up. Survivor quits Pope's panel on sex abuse, citing shameful resistance. So we have the, what part was it? Where'd it go? Catholic pro-life and pro-family organizations. And we also have the a survivor of sex abuse quitting the Pope's panel, citing shameful resistance from Pope Francis. There's three different organizations that are aligning themselves against the Pope. The next person that would like to say it's a conspiracy theory that the Pope is a communist, I would like to refer you to a Catholic pro-life and pro-family organization, and as well as the survivor of sex abuse, who's citing shameful resistance as for more evidence, citing the fact that this Pope is a communist. He is aligning himself directly with evolution, ideology, and eugenics. And of course, there's more to it than that. We know he's a Jesuit. It goes so much deeper. I want to thank you guys for watching and listening. God bless and carry on.